live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Gulbranson.
As the COVID world turns, we're back here, Silver and Black Today, powered by our friends at Salmon Ash Injury Attorneys, 702-820-1234, because you deserve what's right. Salmon Ash, good folks, friends of the show, friends of Raider Nation. If you need your help, check them out, salmonash.com. Well, here we go again. We're talking about Trent Brown. We're talking about the Raiders' COVID list. We're talking about all five offensive linemen and starting safety Jonathan Abram. High risk, which means they are not eligible to test to play until Sunday, according to protocols. I am Scott Gulbranson. You're back here on Silver and Black Today, and as always, joined by my co-host, Q Myers. And Q, the game moved now from Sunday night to Sunday afternoon. We'll talk about that. But this is what happens when you don't follow protocol, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's very, very unfortunate. I don't know how everything's going to shake out, but I'm in a confused state of mind right now, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've been having some interactions in social media as this has happened over the course of the morning and afternoon, and a couple things that I'm just going to get to. Number one is the game moving from Sunday night to Sunday afternoon. We had a lot of folks, and we've been talking this week, Q, about the good side of the Raider Nation having that chip on their shoulder, how it's part of the culture, it's part of that, and that's all cool. Although I think today there's been some of that saying, well, NFL is just screwing the Raiders again by moving the game. Not so. Not so. The NFL had to move the game because they weren't sure if any of these guys test positive in the next day, because they still could, then the game would, you'd have no Sunday night game. So they couldn't take that risk. And it follows the same thing they've done with other teams, by the way, this year. And so they had to move it to the Sunday afternoon. Now, that does not mean that it will be Sunday afternoon. Our colleague, Vinny Bonsignor, who we'll talk to later in the show, said just a little while ago, he had a source saying that unless somebody tests positive, it will be on Sunday afternoon. But I still have a hard time believing that. I still think that this game has a very good chance of being moved to Monday or Tuesday. Other sources out there have said the same thing. So that's where we're at. There's a lot to talk about here, but I think fans need to realize that the information. I defended Trent Brown yesterday, Q. I'm no longer defending Trent Brown because we have more information. Now, not all of it confirmed, but based on what's being reported by Tom Pelissero, who's run this story from start to finish, by the way, whoever he's got giving him the information is pretty dang good.
And he's really good at what he does.
You're absolutely right. There's some guys out there that I know a lot of people don't respect, but Pelissero is one of those guys who is usually, 99% of the time dead on. So he's got a great source in the Raider organization that's giving him this information. Today the news was Trent Brown, the NFL is investigating. He was not wearing his tracking device, which is part of the player association agreement with the league. Remember that. That's important.
Right.
Okay? So Trent Brown's violating those rules. Then the linemen apparently on video, the NFL says they have some video or they're looking at some video of these guys all hanging out together not wearing their masks. All right? So you have that all in mind now. And if that all bears out to be true, we don't know that it is, but it's being reported by a very credible source, then we got problems, and they're our own problems, meaning that the Raiders brought it on themselves, the players, by not following the protocols, Q.
Exactly. And if that's the case, and if Trent Brown's not wearing his tracker that he's supposed to be wearing all the time, I'll tell you right now, and I know it's not going to be popular opinion, they need to cut the guy. They need to cut him, and they need to cut him for
cause.
Cause detrimental to the team, whatever it is.
Yes.
And they just need to move on from him because he's clearly not in all the way with the team. You know what I mean? It's more about him and what he wants to do than it is about the team. Is the team better with him? No doubt about it. But if this is the thing he's going to do and he's not going to go out all the way and do what he's supposed to do, just cut him and get it over with.
And you know what? I defended him yesterday, giving him the benefit of a doubt, saying we didn't have all the information. Okay? So, and a lot of you guys told me I was crazy, and you're turning out to be correct. Q, you and I always say...
Well, you got to give him the benefit of the doubt.
I think you do.
Until you're proven...
Yeah,
wrong.
Unless you have other evidence, and Tom Pelissero obviously got some from somebody inside the Raider organization. So here's the deal. I agree 100% Q, get rid of this guy and don't give him a cent. I think you have so much cause to your point. Our good friend AFL Godfather on Twitter said the same thing, by the way, so it's not just my original idea, but you have cause. Take him to the Players Association, take him to arbitration, get him out of here and don't pay him a cent. Unless you lose and have to. That's what I think they should do. Because in a season like this, everybody has had to be on top of their game when they're off the field in addition to being on the field. If you can't keep it together, you're hurting. Look what now you've done to Jonathan Abram. Look what you've done to the entire offensive line. And maybe those guys follow protocol. We don't know yet. But if they did, and this guy, out of his careless actions, caused this team to not only have their game moved and creates an issue for all sorts of folks, then just say goodbye. It's time.
Yeah, it is. And it's sad because he's a really good player, and you saw what he could do when the Raiders played Kansas City. You saw how effective he could be. And when he's engaged and he's locked in, he could be that guy. But right now, after everything that the Raiders have gone through with him so far this season, if this turns out to be the case, and like I said, if you're taking off your little bracelet, whatever it is, and you're not doing at least that much, then that means that you're purposely not following protocol. And that for that alone, you need to move on from them.
Yes, and Q, I'll tell you, because every time, and I've only been to the facility outside, I test every day, but I was only at practice once this week, and that was yesterday, okay? And every time we go for the practice, which means we're going to be around players, coaches, so on, we do the same thing. We register when we get there. We put the tracking device in a little wristband or on a lanyard, and we wear it the entire time we're there until we leave, and then we take it off. The players have more restriction. They have to wear it more often, they're there more. So how hard is that? Seriously.
It's really not. Well, if you don't wear it, that means that you're trying not to be tracked. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that means that you, in your mind, know you're going to go do something that you're not supposed to do. And that's when it's premeditated, you know, and I hate to say that, but that's the case.
Yeah. And I'm angry today for the fans. I'm angry today for the players who are doing their best. I'm angry for the coaches who make it a priority. I'm angry for the organization who knows what's at stake when stuff like this happens, to have somebody be careless like that. It's just not acceptable, and you should blow them out of town. All right, we're going to go on the phones already. We got somebody who wants to chime in, and that is our good friend, 502 Raider D. 502 Raider D, are you mad like I am?
Yeah, I am, but understand something, and I've understood this about this pandemic from day one. If you are putting, you know, people getting infected in the hands of these $4 million, multi-million-dollar guys, that's going to be a problem, because not everybody has the same morals and the same, you know, business acumen and mindset as other guys do. If you looked at, in order for the NBA to get done, they have to force the guys into a bubble, watching them 24/7 to get it done. We all knew that this was going to happen to every team, just like I said before. I'm upset with him, because not only did we pay him a lot of money, but this guy was supposed to be, you know, one of the stars of our offensive line, and he has had multiple times where he was, you know, when he was injured, he was out a little longer than he probably should have been. But because he's making so much money, he took advantage of that. You know, these guys have, not only morally for their own families, but also for the men that they play with and they're around every day to do what they're supposed to do.
Yes.
These guys, I mean, I'm upset about it, but you know, it is what it is, man. It will always be next man up. You've got to have a love for the game, a love for yourself, and a love for the people that you play around with to play this game. He obviously does not have that. Right. You know, a lot of these multimillionaire guys are very unprofessional, very selfish.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just hoping that I was calling to ask you guys a question about this situation. Why did the NFL move our game to the same day, hour-wise, and just not move us to another day so everybody could get healthy?
Well, so it's a great question, because we've had that one. Thanks, 502 Raider D. We appreciate that. And that is because...
Good stuff, by the way.
Yeah, great call, and I agree 100% with everything you said, by the way. You have to not care for others to do stuff like that. Okay, so with the game moving to 1 o'clock, That's because they could not risk that some in the next few days a Raider pops positive again, another Raider, and suddenly you have to move the game. So now you're left logistically trying to plan a Sunday night football game between two teams. You have to get TV trucks. You have to get all that stuff there, talent. Everybody who's associated with that broadcast has to know where they're going. It's already Thursday. So they had to make a call today. That's why they shifted them to Sunday. Now, the reason it's Sunday and not Monday or Tuesday already is because if nobody becomes positive, they don't get any more positives, then the Raiders will have their team ready to go on Sunday, technically, okay?
Right, with no practice, but they'll be out there.
No practice, absolutely right. So I can see the rub there and saying, well, they're not giving us a chance to practice. But actually, I would say to you today, no, you didn't give yourself a chance to practice, at least one of
right.
you. One of you.
Right.
Thank Trent Brown. Don't thank the NFL. This is not a race. We've had guests on that have proven with data that the NFL has been biased against the Raiders. So I'm there. I understand the Raider dilemma and question when it comes to the NFL and trust. But in this case, it has nothing to do with it. I still think the game will be moved. I know Vinny said he's got sources that said it won't. I still think something is going to – the way things have gone, I just expect the unexpected. So I'm expecting it to go to Monday or Tuesday. But if not, and the Raiders have to play – without a practice on Sunday at 1 o'clock now, they got nobody to blame but themselves in this case, or at least one player in Trent Brown.
Right.
All right.
Exactly. It really stinks, man.
It does.
There's terrible. So many opportunities that have just been missed. You know, they had an opportunity to play on primetime, you know, Sunday night football. That's a big deal, man. And now they're not going to get that. And, you know, who knows if they're even going to play on Sunday. I'm with you. I kind of think it's going to get pushed to Monday or Tuesday. But it's much easier to move a 3:05 or a 1 o'clock kickoff than it is to move a Sunday night game and also scramble to try to find a Sunday night game.
We're going to get to a couple of callers here, and then we got Evan Grote, who's on Thursdays here with us from Just Pod Baby. We'll get his thoughts on all of this. First, though, I want to – they asked –
is his wife going to let him answer about it?
I don't know. We'll ask.
You know, he's under lock and key, brother.
Boy, you're ready to go today. I love it. but before that, they had a media availability today, and they asked offensive coordinator Greg Olsen, how do you prepare for a game Sunday when you have no offensive line?
We mean that, Josh, when we say the next man up. I don't think that doesn't change your mentality and your thinking. We've had situations where guys have gone down this season. We've lost some players. You know, we started Ty Williams. We started the season losing a wide receiver. So we've lost players, and that's just the mindset that we want our players to have and our offensive players to have, that everyone's got to be prepared to go at any time, and opportunities come in a lot of different ways, but we just prepare the same.
I respect Coach Olsen, but don't buy it. It's different when you have a guy or two like they've had, but when you have right. the entire offensive line, and he's just doing what he's got to say, what he's got to say.
Look, this is the thing real quick about the next man up mentality. If the next man up was great, he wouldn't be the next man. He would be the man.
The man, right. That's absolutely right. By the way, real quick, just an aside, Greg Olsen sounds like Mark Davis. They have very similar voices. It's very strange.
Yeah, it's true.
But anyway, so there's Greg Olsen. He's prepping for that. And we're going to go to one more caller before we get to our guests. And if you're on the phone, we got a bunch of callers on the line on hold. So hang on. First, we're going to go to El Paso Raider, our good friend down in West Texas. What's going on? Southwest Texas, I should say. What's up, El Paso Raider? How you feeling today?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Hey, I'm going to try to make it quick, but real quick. Big Doc, Q, hey, when you came down to El Paso, which steakhouse did you go to? I'll give you a couple names. Coralitos, Great American, or Cattleman's, or Edge of Texas?
Which one's more of the sports bar?
Sports bar, that's Coralitos.
There you go.
There you go. Okay, that's a good spot, man. It's a good spot. and by the way, not to the horrible news, you know, I think I told you guys yesterday about Tim Brown, man. This man is... he doesn't care about nobody, you know, he cares about himself, and this is what happens, you know, it happens, these other guys decided on themselves too to hang around with the man and not actually put in the work in and putting their head down like I've always said, and this is what happens, this is what we get for being like that, you know, and I think Coach Greer needs to discipline these guys. If Jonathan Abraham was around him when I thought that supposed to be all linemen are on their own and, you know, every different type of squad player is supposed to be on their own instead of being together. This guy should be cut, like Q said, in my opinion. But, you know, it's just horrible news, you know, and them changing the game and all that. You know, they let the Titans have 21 players test positive and staff members, and they did everything to change their game. Hopefully we can change it to Tuesday or Monday for us.
Yeah, we'll see. I have a good feeling that it will be. Thanks a lot, El Paso Raider. All right. We're going to bring in now our first guest, which is our good friend Evan Grote from Just Pod Baby, who you can follow his podcast. Make sure you subscribe to that podcast anywhere you get your podcast, Just Pod Baby with Evan Grote. Evan, boy, Q's already fired a salvo at you.
Attacking
before we
my
went
manhood.
On there. He's already
don't
got
worry
you.
About the introduction. Maybe I heard Q.
It's those.
I love me some Evan.
Those Manscaped ads too. Maybe he's challenging you a little bit. You got some of those, but you know, here's the deal, Evan. All of this that's going on. I mean, Q and I both have gone on the record, and I'm unapologetic. Blow this guy out of here. It's done. You should not have Trent Brown. Should not be a part of the Raiders. You agree or disagree?
I gotta disagree. I think you guys might be a little bit emotional right now, overreacting a little bit. I want to hear some more details. I know the guy, we've heard that he's not wearing this tracking device, but can we at least hear him speak? Can we at least hear his side of the story before we decide that we want to cut the guy? I mean, you guys sound like Raiders Twitter right now.
No, listen.
Evan, I would normally agree with you, but this dude has shown nothing that he wants to be a part of the team. It's more of a me. Look at me. I'm going to do my own thing. Not wearing the tracking device, that's just a decision that you make not to do it. That means that you deliberately aren't following the rules. As a parent, when my kids don't follow the rules, I punish them because, well, they deliberately decided they made a decision they weren't going to follow the rules. It's not like they made a mistake and they just, it just happened to happen. No, they thought about it and decided not to do it.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think that it's reckless what he did. It's very careless what he did as far as the not wearing the tracking device. But I think what a lot of people are upset right now with Trent Brown has to do with the injuries that he had leading up to this point. And I think it's kind of compounded. So you have to look at the two things differently. They're two different scenarios. You can't question whether the guy was hurt or not. I mean, we don't know. And I think I've heard you guys both say that. You have to give him the benefit of the doubt with the injuries. These are two separate cases. Let's look at them that way. Let's give him a chance to explain his side of the story.
Yeah, but here's the problem is I don't think he will explain himself. I don't know that he cares. And if he does,
he'll tell you that he don't care.
Right. He'll go on social media and say, I don't care, whatever. But again, we're guessing. But, Evan, I hear what you're saying about the injury. But we heard the frustrations coming out of the Raider organization over that injury and his time to recover. But you're right. You have to treat these as two very separate situations. But with his record, with his inability to stay on the field – and now this selfishness, if it's indeed the way it's been laid out by Tom Pelissero, if that is indeed what happened, meaning that he purposefully, to deflect attention or to hide his actions, took off his tracking device, if that's what turns out to be, then that's why I'm saying then you cut him. Because that you put at risk the entire season of your team. You do. You put at risk the entire team and their families, many of which have pregnant wives, have sick mothers, have compromised children, you name it, okay? So now you've made a decision that says, you know what, my union and the league agreed on protocols that I have to follow to be a player here. And I said, not for me.
Yeah, I can't argue that. You're talking about, like you said, pregnant wives, family members with pre-existing conditions. I can't argue that. But again, my whole point is I just want to make sure we're doing the research, we're finding out exactly what's going on before we decide we want to go and you know, be the judge, the jury, and all of that with Trent Brown.
Yeah.
Well, I will say, I think he's going to be gone after the season regardless, just based off his contract and how they can get out of it. He just, to me, doesn't seem like a guy, regardless, injuries be damned, he just seems like a guy who's not really 100% locked in all the time. It was great to see him out there against Kansas City. You saw what he can be, but he's also just not really all the way locked in. I mean, you could tell that. So it's one time, okay, I get it. You get a pass. Another time, okay, it's getting old, but we get it. Another time, it's like, okay, man, do you want to do this or not? If you don't, kick rocks. Again, and I go back to this, he's been on, what, three teams now in his career?
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah, so we'll see. But again, we're joined by Evan Grote from Just Pod Baby. And Evan, we'll see how that all pans out. I mean, we're going to be talking a lot about more on the show. But I want to talk to you, too, about the actual football game that's going to be played at some point, either Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday. And you look at this game and you look at the Buccaneers and what they're able to do, especially on that defense, which has kind of picked up some steam here as they've rolled along. And Tom Brady seems a little more comfortable. But the Raiders also, too, coming off a huge win against the Chiefs, and part of that was because of the second half performance of the defense. So Paul Gunther today talked about the Chiefs win and what it meant for his defense and momentum heading into this game.
Probably, you know, we have high standards here. We still, you know, the points were too much in the first quarter, in the first half. You know, there was one turnover with that, a short field, but, you know, we gave up some plays in the first half that was just kind of our fault, whether we lost leverage or got out of a gap or let the guy scramble around and make a play, which he does a lot. But, you know, we went into halftime, we talked about it, made a couple of adjustments at halftime, and came out and just played a lot better in the second half. I thought we had a good understanding of where they were trying to attack us, and I think the guys really followed the plan, and it was an all-day sucker. It always is when you're playing that team, whether it's, you know, covering the receivers in the back or the quarterback running around and making additional plays. But I think our guys really responded, and that was a heck of a ball game. I think a lot of our guys ran over 1,200 yards throughout the course of that ball game.
Now, Evan, you look at Tom Brady at 43 years old. He's not Patrick Mahomes, clearly, but he is one of the best to ever play the game. He can pick you apart even at 43. Do you think this defense is going to be able to put it together for four quarters and hold that Tampa Bay offense in check?
Well, we haven't been able to see it this far. They have not put together a full four-quarter effort on defense. The Bucs' offense is very good. They're well-rounded. I think one of the really underrated aspects of their offense is because we hear so much about Tom Brady and the weapons he has with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Gronk is the running game. I was doing some research myself for the podcast. Very quietly, Ronald Jones, I think he's fifth in the NFL in rushing. I mean, he's averaging 5 yards a carry, I believe, is, or just under 5 yards a carry. He's coming off his third consecutive 100-yard rushing game, and Leonard Fournette also had 100 yards early in the season. So they've put up some very good numbers running the ball. So they're very well-rounded, and the Raiders are going to have their hands full this weekend.
How do you think that, you know, the team goes with the way that Tampa Bay is playing defense and that especially, you know, stopping the run? They're doing a really good job of that. They got some young guys in the secondary, so I can see the Raiders, you know, really throwing the ball around the yard. But, you know, John Gruden wants to run the rock early and often. How do you think that the Raiders kind of go about that and attack that defensive line, that defensive front of the Buccaneers?
Well, I do think I agree with you. He's going to want to try to establish that run game and test that number one run defense in the NFL. But, you know, especially if this offensive line is not fully intact, that's going to be a major issue. You know, you talked about the young corners. They're young, but they're very talented. Jameel Davis, I believe his name is. He's very, very talented. Carlton Davis, that's the name. Very good group of young corners there. They don't give up much in the pass either. 218 yards passing allowed a game. So one of the areas I do think Gruden could look to attack is going to be with Darren Waller, attacking those linebackers who aren't great in coverage. They're very good linebackers, don't get me wrong, but one of their weaknesses is in coverage.
It is, absolutely. And I think, too, from a running perspective, as good as they've been against the run, if you go hard north-south at them, I think you have a chance, especially if you do it early and you can establish it early. So I would look to see Josh Jacobs, at least John Gruden, roll out there and try that. So we'll have to see, and we're going to be talking to Mark Cook from the Pewter Report later on the show about the Buccaneers as well. Evan, well, we'll see how this all comes out, and we appreciate your point of view on it and saying, hey, let's give some more time and see what exactly Trent Brown did or did not do. Make sure you follow Evan at egrope5 on Twitter, and also make sure you subscribe to the Just Pod Baby podcast. Evan, make sure you listen to everything your wife tells you to do.
Yeah.
You guys better lay off those Dr. Jen's power bars, I think.
Oh, this is all natural.
That's all. Yeah, we're ready to go.
This doesn't end.
It's only because we love you, Evan. You know that, and we're all married, so we all understand.
I'm the middle child, so I'm used to the abuse.
Good.
There you go, Evan Grote. We'll talk to you next week, my friend.
All right, guys, take care.
All right, that was Evan Peace. Grote again. Always having good fun. All right, time for a break. Cue, man, I'm fired up. I'm angry. I'm just a little bit of everything. All right, we're gonna step aside when we come back. Levi Edwards, reporter with Raiders.com. He'll join us. We'll talk to him about what's going on. Also get into the game with him about the Raiders and what they're facing. We'll hear from Greg Olson, too, about Derek Carr's improvement and getting Henry Ruggs involved in the game. You're with Q and Scott here on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio.
I've been thinking about that since I was a little kid, man. So, you know, just had an opportunity. I've always been a Tom Brady fan, and to go out there and walk out on the field now and to really look at him is like a, you know, just somebody I want to really devour, you know what I mean? So it's going to be good. I'm excited.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
All right, back here on the Silver and Black today. If you've been under a rock, the Raider game has been moved from Sunday night to Sunday afternoon.
What?
You're kidding. Q, you didn't know?
I know. Nah, I was under a rock.
Oh, thank you, Trent Brown. Tested positive, and now the entire offensive line and Jonathan Abram, starting safety, are deemed high risk, so they are quarantined until Sunday morning when they test again. And if they test negative, they would be eligible to play in that game that will be at 1:05 p.m. Pacific time. And wow, and we're going to go back on the phones. Josh in Texas has been very patient on the phones. We want to get him in before we get to our guest.
Texas, baby.
It is Josh. Josh, what's going on this Thursday? This Thursday when we found out even more on the Raiders situation concerning Sunday's game.
Hey, guys, isn't this just like the Raiders? We're flying high, beat the Chiefs, and then we get sucker punched.
Yep.
I just found out something. I'm not sure if you guys know this, but losing Trent Brown and our O-line might not be the worst of our problems. Evidently, we were supposed to be following a certain protocol after Damon Arnette went out.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And we hadn't been doing that. So not everyone was mandatory, supposed to wear a mask. And we weren't. So now I'm thinking, are they going to take draft picks? I have no idea what comes next. You guys have anything on that?
Well, Josh, a couple things. Number one, there has been some reports of that, although that has not been confirmed yet. Okay, because yes, when you have a player who tests positive, the protocol indicates that then the team has to go to kind of a next stage of preparation and make sure that they're all wearing masks at practice. We saw that actually yesterday. If you look at the pictures the Raiders post every day of their practices, you'll see they were all wearing masks. Now,
okay,
if they were practicing and before that and didn't wear masks, that's what's being alleged by some of these reports, although we have no confirmation of that yet. And if that's indeed the case, then we'll see what happens. I know a lot of people are throwing out thanks, Josh, for the call, by the way. I know a lot of people are throwing out losing draft picks, taking losses. Look, you saw what happened with the Titans and other teams, and they did not lose that. Now, with the Raiders, you have the Raider thing. Yes, absolutely. And you've had situations where they've been fined repeatedly in advance and have been warned.
Lots of money.
Yes, and have been warned. So now, mm-hmm. I don't know what that next step is. I wouldn't jump to draft picks and losing a game yet, but certainly because we don't know what the facts are and what's happening there. So we'll have to just wait and see. Just like yesterday, we didn't have all the facts. We don't today. We have more today, but we don't have everything. So we're going to have to wait and see how it unfolds. And it's not over by a long shot. I still don't know that we'll know when the game is going to be played until maybe we're on the air tomorrow. We'll have to see.
Probably about that time. I'll tell you, though, it just sounds like, and this is just my personal opinion, and this is just a gut feeling. Again, like you said, we don't know all the facts. It just feels like there was a lot of irresponsibility going on. I mean, really, if you're supposed to be following certain protocols, once you have a guy hit the COVID-19 list and you weren't doing it, that's on you. And I say on you, I mean that's from the top down. And if you're a player and you're not wearing your tracking device, that's on you. I mean, it just feels like a lot of guys being irresponsible. And unfortunately, it happens. 502 Raider said that, you know, you can't count on everybody to follow the rules and do what they're supposed to do. He's absolutely 100% spot on.
Absolutely. All right. Now
we're doubt about it.
We're going out on our newsmaker line. We bring in our good friend, as we do every Thursday. That is Levi Edwards. He's a reporter for Raiders.com, covers the Raiders on a daily basis, clearly. And Levi, obviously this news, you're up to speed on everything. This was a tough game for the Raiders anyway. It was a big challenge coming in, big stage, Sunday Night Football. I had a feeling the Raiders were gonna really give this game all that they had, that they would have the opportunity to win and show that they're for real. Now you have all of this happening. There's no other way to put it but the fact that it is a distraction. What now for this team? I mean, you have to continue to prep, but there is that distraction. You haven't had your starting offensive line. You don't have your starting safety, and now you're dealing with a game change.
Well, first and foremost, I just really want to just say that I am very concerned, and I, you know, wish the best for Trent Brown and the rest of the offensive line and Jonathan Abram, who are going through this process right now. I know that it's tough, and of course it's rough not having those guys on the field and, you know, being able to practice, and, you know, they may not play, but at the end of the day, we always have to make sure that we're looking at the bigger picture, and that's the fact that they either have it or they're at high risk. So I hope that everything goes well for them. Just because this is a terrible disease that's been spread around a lot, and, you know, it's been a tough time. So I really do hope all of them the best, and I hope that they're able to recover quickly and get through whatever precautions or whatever circumstances they have to get through in order to not only get back on the field but be healthy just in general. So it's really hard, and like you said, Scott, like, I felt like this was going to be the most evenly matched up game, in my opinion, that the Raiders have had up to this point, where you have a dynamic offense that the Raiders have going up against the dynamic defense that the Buccaneers have, and really just trying to see who wants it more, who can make more plays. And it's just a devastating blow because the Raiders' offensive line was really starting to get back to full strength with Trent Brown coming back and Richie Incognito being around the corner being healthy. So it really is just a tough blow when you look at it.
What is your gut feeling when it comes to Trent Brown? Because we've had some pretty, you know, strong opinions since the show started. And, you know, me personally, I feel like if he's just reckless and he decided not to wear his tracking device, I feel like that's something he did on purpose. And so it just kind of angers me. And I've said straight up, if this dude's not all in on the team, then just let him go. Just cut him and let some other team pick him up. But what are your thoughts on Trent Brown as we stand right here on October 22nd?
As of right now, I'm not going to speak for another man. I'm not going to speak upon what I believe his dedication and his passion for the team is. When he's been on the field, he's proven that he can play. Of course, there's a lot of circumstances behind him not being on the field since he's been in the Raiders jersey, but despite that, when he's been on the field, he's shown that he can play. He was a Pro Bowl player last year. So, of course, people are going to get upset and think that he's reckless, that he's not passionate about playing, that, you know, he didn't take the right precautions in order to make sure that he did not get it. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to speak for another man. I don't know where his heart is. I don't know where his mind is. I just know that what I've seen from him and the production that I have seen when he's been on the field has been a Pro Bowl caliber type right tackle. And so hopefully once he gets back on the field, whenever that may be, he continues to prove that.
Yeah, and Levi Edwards from Raiders.com joins us. And Levi, you know, that offensive line, as you mentioned, just kind of gotten back to full strength. Now they will for sure be without Trent Brown. And if the rest of the guys test okay and they come back on Sunday or whenever the game is going to be played, you're going to be looking at a different situation now. So does this change at all the game plan for the Raiders when they face the Buccaneers, knowing that, you know, if, you know, God willing, no one else tests positive and you get everybody back? We know Richie Incognito probably not going to be back, so now you're down two guys again. Do you change your approach to the game if you're John Gruden and Greg Olsen whatsoever?
Hell no. Greg Olsen literally just said earlier today, like, next man up. And when they say next man up, they really mean next man up. It's too late in the game to change a game plan. Mm-hmm. Like, they really just have to continue to do what they've already been doing. It's no secret that their offensive line has been banged up and they've had to have guys come and step up and perform to a high caliber level. So it's really just the same thing. Of course, it's devastating because, you know, you have guys like Rodney, guys like Colton and Gabe who are dealing with this. So it's less death, of course. So, like, of course, it's really devastating the fact that you have less guys who can go up and play, but all of these guys are in the NFL. They all have proven that they can play up to this point, and so it's really just on Gruden and it's on Olsen and it's on the rest of the and it's on Cable to make sure that these guys are ready. You know, whether they play 15 snaps or 75 snaps, they got to be ready. Top to down. That's how I see it. So I feel like the game plan will be pretty similar. They just have to play, you know, silver and black, tenacious style of football when they come into Allegiant Stadium on Sunday. If they come in on Sunday.
Yeah.
Do you think there will be a game on Sunday, or do you think it gets moved to Monday or Tuesday?
No clue. I can't even say anything on that yet. We'll just have to see.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, I think we all have our view on it. I know fans were upset, and I'm sure players and coaches and the organization's upset that, you know, you don't get that big stage on Sunday night, but maybe they'll get it on Monday or Tuesday. But Levi, when you look at that situation too, you look at Derek Carr, you look at Henry Ruggs, that offense as well. We talk a lot about the Buccaneers defense and what they're able to do with that linebacking core, the young, good cornerbacks. They are a force to be reckoned with, too. But we know, and this is what Greg Olsen said about Derek Carr and his improvement as well this afternoon.
Well, Derek Carr has just been a lot more of an accurate passer. I mean, he's already proven that he's a great quarterback in this league. But this year, I've seen him play the smartest football that I've seen him play. And it might just be because, you know, he's progressing. He's getting older. He's more of a veteran quarterback now. It might be because he's really starting to get really inside of Gruden's offensive game plan and really understand it and be able to execute at the best level. But we really are starting to see the best football that Derek Carr plays since he's been in the NFL. And the fact that he's also at a disadvantage in terms of his receivers with people being banged up as well. Because you have Edwards who's been out, you have Ruggs who's missed some time, you have Rico Gafford who's missed some time, and coming right off the bat, like Olsen said earlier today, they started the season off, they started training camp off with Williams being out. And people are not even mentioning that like your number one receiver goes out in training camp before the season starts, and yet the Raiders' offense hasn't missed a beat under Derek Carr. So he's really just progressed, and they got to get Henry Ruggs the ball. And Gruden said it, Olsen said it, and I'm saying it. They got to get Ruggs the ball. They got to make sure that he is involved in not only the passing game, but just making sure that they're just finding new innovative ways to get him the ball and get him involved in that offense. Like, we know, everyone knows how dynamic of a player he can be. I've written it countless times. People have said it on the television countless of times. We've all seen it. We all know it. So it's just time for him to showcase that.
What about Nelson Aguilar, another speedster, a guy who looks like he's reinventing his career with the silver and black? What have you thought about what you've seen from him so far in this season?
Not surprised. I saw him do some really good things in Philadelphia, and I thought that would be a really great pickup once I saw that the Raiders were going to get him. And he really brings that veteran experience to that receiving core with it being so young. So he's really just when he's just really been able to take the opportunity that's been given to him and, no pun intended, be perfect with him.
Yeah, absolutely. Levi Edwards, as always, my man, we appreciate you being with us. Be safe out there, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great. Thank you, Scott.
All right, Levi Edwards from Raiders.com. And Q, so many unknowns today. You know, we're gonna talk about it the rest of the show, of course, and with our callers. You can, by the way, 702-365-9200 if you want to get in on the conversation. But there's still a game to be played. It's going to be played at some point. And so we'll see. But we'll take one more call before we go to the break, my man. Selfie in Fresno.
No, this is Salty from Fresno. Anyway,
gotcha.
Yeah,
Salty.
I was so looking forward to avenging that 2002 Super Bowl loss to the Bucks, and then also avenging the tuck rule against Tom Brady. But it just seems that we can't get out of our own way, and it's just typical being a Raiders fan. It feels a little cursed. It feels a little disheartening, bitter. But honestly, I mean, we're a 9-7 team at best. We're going to get a 7 seed. We'd be lucky to get the 6 seed. As far as Trent Brown, I think that we should, honestly, this year, hold on to him, coddle him. In the words of Conor McGregor, you know, whisper sweet nothings to him, make him sure he's okay, let him know we love him. But then after the end of this year, we gotta let him go and use that money to sign a guy like Nelson Aguilar, sign another lineman that's going to prove that they want to be a part of this system. But, I mean, let's be real. We're not going to win the Super Bowl this year. We're not coming close, but it's a good year, a good foundation year. But it's just discouraging because I'm sick of seeing Tom Brady walk and beat us, and I'm just tired of it. So it's just blessing of being a Raiders fan, the joy that we have.
Salty in Fresno, thanks. He wants to Fredo Trent Brown, if you're familiar with The Godfather. He wants to kiss him, take him on the boat, and say goodnight.
Well, look, and that's okay. I mean, look, that's probably what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. I just think that, you know, and going even back to Levi, and he didn't want to really comment on it, and I respect that. But at the end of the day, if you choose not to even wear your tracking device, like this COVID-19, it can, you know, bounce up and bite anybody. And you hit it on the head yesterday. You know, you could be at home doing the right thing and you could still end up with this thing. Everything could, you know, fall in the wrong direction and it's out of your hands. But when you deliberately do something that is jeopardizing not only yourself, but your teammates, I think you need to be held accountable for that. That's just me, but I understand why some people don't want to speak on it, but that's just me, and that's probably why Trent Brown's blocked me on Twitter.
If he hadn't, he would have today, both of us, I'm sure.
Apparently.
But I'll tell you, we live in a time when people don't want accountability. I'll get on my little soapbox about culture, and so it's not surprising because people feel like the world revolves around them. You see it. I saw a woman on the highway today, California plates, by the way, which is becoming a big, big issue here in Nevada. Driving down the highway, zipping in, zipping out, which is bad. You know, I just let people like that live and let live because I'm not going to get angry and follow somebody or anything like that. But zipping in, zipping out, and then she got slowed down because she got stuck in traffic, and I pull up beside of her. She's doing 85, 90 miles an hour on the highway here in Las Vegas, and then she's on her phone. It's literally in front of her face.
Yep.
And to me, again, accountability, responsibility. Everybody has to have it. We're in a pandemic. You want to stop it? You want to get back to normal? Don't be an a-hole. It's pretty simple. All right, we're going to take a break. Come back. We'll get to your call, 702-365-9200. Top of the next hour, Mark Cook, the editor-in-chief of the Pewter Report, of course, covers the Buccaneers. He'll be with us, too. We'll talk more about the Buccaneers. We'll get his take, too, on the game switch and what that means for Tampa Bay. You're with Scott and Q here on Silver and Black Today, only on Raider Nation Radio.
Yeah, I think it's... And we talk about constant and never-ending self-improvement, you know, in every area. And there are things that he certainly can get better at. But as we've continued to surround him with better players, I think we've seen better production out of the quarterback position. So that would help any quarterback. It certainly helped Derek this season. But again, we've got to continue to stay healthy. And it's still early in the season. But we like what we're seeing right now, again, from the additions that we had. In the rookie class, in our free agents, and really in the offensive line, which has been really important for us.
If you believe Tom Brady did fumble and that Franco Harris didn't catch that pass and call it the Immaculate Deception, then you found the right place. This is Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
We'll be right back. Back here on the Silver and Black today, Raider Nation Radio 920 in the City of Lights, Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Home. Hey, Scott.
Yes, sir. You got breaking news.
Did I ever tell you the story about Franco Harris? I just heard that return.
You mean,
and it made me think of the story.
You mean about the fact that he never caught the ball?
Well, he was going to tell me the truth.
What was he?
At the Super Bowl this past year in Miami, Radio Row, I interviewed him. Great guy. Mm-hmm. Awesome. I mean, dude, he's the guy. Anyway, really cool dude. And so at the end of the interview, I said, hey, man, I just kind of want you to know that I'm a Raider fan. And I showed him my computer that had a Raider sticker on it. I said, Joe, I just want you to know that between me and you, I know you didn't catch the ball. And that's cool because you played it off all these years, but I know you didn't catch it. And so he started laughing, got it, you know, whatever. And he said, if you go and you vote for that to be the most, like, best play in football history, I'll tell you the truth of if I caught it or not. And I looked at him and said, I would say deal. I already know that you didn't, so it's all good. I'll keep it between me and you, though. So, anyway, he was a good dude.
Yeah.
But he didn't catch the ball.
Yes. It's funny because we've had Phil Villapiano on so many times, and when he talks about that story and such a great relationship between those two guys,
and
the fact that Franco calls him at the same time every year at the time when the quote unquote catch happened, is really one of the great sports stories, mm-hmm. I think, because he's calling to remind him every single year, and it makes it such a great piece of sports history. But yeah, I mean, he didn't catch the ball. It's like,
no.
And they had the other angle, and they've never released that angle, and the NFL lost the angle, and then now the referees are all gone, so you can't get the truth. But maybe when Franco decides to come clean on it, he could do a pay-per-view. He'd make a ton of money on that.
Well, I'll tell you, if the game had been played in Oakland,
yes,
it would have been incomplete.
Correct. No doubt about
it. If it had been played, well, it was. he caught the ball.
All right. We're going to get Jerry in from Vegas here before we go to the top of the hour break. Jerry, it's Q. It's Scott. What's going on, brother?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just want to comment on the Trent Brown thing. I know everyone's been calling in talking about it. You know, it's not just, like, you know, his irresponsibility is affecting his teammates, the schedule, the NFL. But in the way you think about it, he's kind of affecting business in Vegas because that's tourist money that we might have just lost, you know, that Vegas, the city of Vegas is really desperate for right now. Yeah, with the whole COVID-19 business is hurting, so now we might have just lost all that. With the 7-9 crew leaving for the Seattle Cardinals game,
mm-hmm.
But you've got to think about stuff like that, too. It's like, it's just a domino effect. Like, if the guy can't be responsible and do what he needs to do, then maybe he just shouldn't play. But I know that's easier said than done. Like the other guy said, we need to get his side of the story, but, you know, it's just been kind of rough going in terms of this year. And I agree with Q, like, you know, we should probably cut our losses, but I don't think they're going to do that till after the season.
Yeah, Jerry, thanks for the call, man. No, I agree. It's a hit for Las Vegas. Look, Vegas right now, as much as I love it, it's really, really, really struggling, okay? Not only do I have neighbors still out of work, not only do we have businesses that have all gone belly up and they're never coming back, but then we have the tourism industry, which has been just hammered and continues to be hammered. And so, yes, there wouldn't have been a massive amount of tourists come in, although I know a lot of Raider Nation were coming in for the game to watch it at places near the stadium, whether it be down on the Strip or elsewhere. And so will those people now come in for a Sunday afternoon game? I bet you most of them still will because right. Raider Nation.
Tampa Bay fan were coming in too.
Yeah, and I still think they'll come in as long as the game is played. But not having the commercial that is Sunday Night Football for Las Vegas, a tourism destination, it's tough. It comes at a time when Las Vegas could use a little bit of love, right?
Right.
And it's not going to get it now unless we get a Monday or a Tuesday night game. So we'll see. Okay, top of the hour break. Sorry, Q, we got to hold it.
Go ahead.
We'll get you on the other side. Top of the hour break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Mark Cook from PewterReport.com. They cover the Buccaneers. And we'll talk to you guys, 702-365-9200. You're with your boy Q Myers, Scott Gilbranson, Silver and Black today, Raider Nation Radio.
Kick off your Sunday.